Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music again this morning. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Mark and chapter 9, the book of Mark and chapter 9. Mark and chapter 9, we're going to be reading verse 14 down to verse 29. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. As I read, you follow right along with me. Mark chapter 9. Beginning in verse 14, the Bible says, "And when he, Jesus, came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you, Lord God, for loving us, and thank you for this another opportunity that you made available to all that are here. And Lord, what a blessing it is that each one here took advantage of that opportunity. As we've assembled here in your name, it's a blessing to know and to sense your presence here. Thank you for this a place of refuge. And I pray this morning right now, God, that you would meet with us. I ask that each and every one here would have those ears to hear what you have to say to them. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This would be the signature event for Christ's teaching on the importance of prayer and fasting. You'll find this in each one of the Gospels, some reference to this, but this is the most complete reference to this entire event and what took place. The event was a certain man with a troubled son. He tells Jesus that the disciples whom he had given power to had tried but could not help him. That's what was going on when Jesus came to the crowd, and they were questioning the disciples as to why they couldn't do this, and they had seen them cast out other demons and heal other people and help other people, but this particular child in this event, they could not, the Bible says. And because they tried to help him and could not, if you will, they just gave up. They gave up on trying to help this boy. Jesus addresses them. I believe he's talking to not only his disciples, but he's talking to those who were questioning the power of God. In verse 19, he says, he answered him and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." He addresses their faith. In verse 23, he also said, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe," now he's addressing the Father, "if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." What a powerful statement. So Jesus addresses their faith, and then he heals the boy and introduces them to prayer and fasting. Fasting being an extension of faith and prayer. And that's where it comes. It's faith in God which leads you to pray. If you do not pray, it reveals that you have no faith in God. If you have faith in God, then it will lead you to prayer. Because we know that that's how God has designed communication with Him. And once you pray and you understand more of the will of God and the ways of God, then you will understand that fasting is an extension of prayer. It begins with faith. If you have no faith, you'll not pray. If you have no prayer life, you'll not fast as far as an extension to prayer. So we find that Jesus introduces them, and this is again somewhat the signature event of Christ revealing this power of not only prayer, but the power of prayer and fasting. And we preached many a message on this and different areas of this. But this morning, I want to present another lesson that we find from this signature passage. And that is the need to know what we're fasting for. If you pray, you need to know why you're praying. Need to understand it's a prayer that God can't answer. It's futile to pray a prayer that you know that God will not answer. Faith, belief in God helps us to know how to pray and what to pray for. But then as we go on beyond that and we add fasting to that, how important it is for us to know what we are fasting for. And in introducing fasting to the disciples, he introduces fasting concerning this kind. And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." There's certain things that we're going to face in life that if you don't learn the power of fasting, that you will not be able to receive the victory over that. And as we do add to our prayer life, which is an extension of our faith, fasting, then we need to know exactly what we are fasting for. Jesus identifies it again as this kind. The Father describes what he knew about the boy's problems. It was all about helping this boy. It was all about this boy having problems that no one could help. Not even the disciples at this time. And so in referring to this kind, he's referring to the problems that this boy had. And so we find in the scriptures here that the Father describes what he knew about the boy's problems, which were the symptoms of the problem. What was going on in his life that was out of control. Verse 17, he says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Now, even the father thought it to be a demonic spirit, as from what he observed from the boy. And verse 18, he says, "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, And he pineth away. He's not eating. He's dying. He's starving himself to death, if you will. He pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not. Then in verse 22, the Bible says, and oftentimes he hath cast him into the fire. Every symptom that this boy had would reveal the source of the problem, which would have been a demonic spirit trying to kill this boy, trying to get this boy to take his own life by casting him into the fire and into the waters. And his purpose, he saw, was to destroy him. So we find that the father is describing the symptoms of what was taking place in this boy's life. Can I tell you, the symptoms reveal what's going on inside of us? How you respond outwardly, what you do, your life. It's a symptom of what is happening within. I've often said, before you fight, face a physical battle, you've already faced the spiritual battle. Because the spiritual battle is fought before the physical, and the spiritual comes first. When you go to the doctor's office, the doctor usually will ask you, what do you think's wrong? What kind of problem do you think you have? How can I help? To have a right diagnosis, you have to evaluate the symptoms. That's why I don't think I've ever been to the doctor's office that when I first go in, the nurse comes out and she takes me over and puts me on the scales. And I'm thinking, come on now. I've got an earache. It doesn't matter how much I weigh. Why do you have to weigh me? Most of the time, I don't want to know what I weigh. But they'll take me over, they'll put me on the scales, and they'll weigh me. And then they'll take me in and say, now, what is your birth date? What has that got to do with my earache? They want to know how old you are. After that, they'll come around, and what they'll do is they'll take your temperature. Once they take your temperature, then they will take your blood pressure. Is that not just a typical office visit when you go to the doctor? I mean, everyone here can identify with that. You say, every time I've gone to the doctor, no matter what the problem is, they go through all of this. Can I tell you, there's a reason for that? To have a right diagnosis, you have to evaluate the symptoms. They know what to look for. Before you ever open your mouth as to tell them what you think the problem is, they realize if you have a temperature, what that's going to produce. If you have a high blood pressure, the doctor knows what your blood pressure is, and he already knows what to look for, the signs. When you tell him what's going on, he's going to be able to connect that with a high blood pressure, possibly. When you tell him what's going on, whether you know it or not, he's already evaluated because he knows how you weigh and how much you should weigh. Because he has been trained to realize if you're overweight, being overweight can cause certain things to happen in your life. They can produce certain symptoms. So everything that they do ahead of time is to help them to have a right diagnosis. And before you ever say anything, they already know certain things and they're looking for now what your symptoms. Can I tell you that spiritually, we can do the very same thing. They go to medical school for 10, 12 years, however long it is, to learn all about this. To learn all about your body, the anatomy of this human body. They learn all these things, and they learn what if you have this problem, if you have this physical problem, then it's going to expose itself with these symptoms. As we read the Word of God and study the Word of God, can I tell you, as I counsel people and look to help them, when they come in and they tell me what's taking place in their life, because I know what the Word of God tells me about the human nature, because I know how Satan works as an evil spirit, I know what's taking place. When they start describing to me what's going on, I already know. Not because I'm that bright and not because I have supernatural powers, I just study the Bible. I know what God tells me about human nature. Symptoms. When somebody tells me, you know, preacher, I just don't want to be in a biblical church. When somebody tells me I'm dealing with my child, my teenager, and they don't want to be in a biblical church. And they're telling us that, oh, we'll go to church if we go to this church or that church because they don't have any kind of standards and they don't have any kind of restrictions. And can I tell you, when I hear that, I know exactly what's taking place. Because that's the symptoms. When I hear somebody come to the office and they ask me, they want to know what's going on. Well, preacher, I just don't want to be married any longer. When I hear that, that's a symptom of what is truly going on inside of them. We could go on and on. Preacher, I just don't feel like praying and reading my Bible. I know that through prayer and reading your Bible is personal walk with God time. It's fellowship with God. And when you tell me you don't want to read your Bible, you don't want to pray, you don't want to fellowship with God. That's a symptom. That's a symptom. The boy's symptoms, the father was able to tell Jesus, this is what I know, this is what I see, this is what has taken place. And when he's telling Jesus all about these symptoms, then we find that Jesus is already understanding where the source, what the source is. But not only that, if you look back to Mark chapter 9, when we look at verse 21, he told him what he seen, what he knew about the boy. In verse 21, and Jesus, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Jesus asked questions to find out just how powerful this demon was. The disciples had attempted and they had prayed over this boy. And can I tell you that Jesus had already given them powers over demons and over sicknesses and over different things. It was during the apostolic age, a different dispensation of time. And during the apostolic age, he had anointed his apostles and he had given them certain powers to be able to overpower demons. And they had tried. They had done it like they had cast out other demons. And it was through faith and prayer. But this was one that was a little bit more powerful than what they had come up against. And they themselves had did the same things that they had done before to others and had got the victory over other certain types of demonic possessions and other types of problems with healing and health and whatever it might have been. But this particular one, they tried and it didn't happen. They didn't help the boy. And they continued to do the very same things that they had done before and they continued to have the same results. If you do the same things, you're going to have the same results. And so Jesus, helping them and helping us understand, he already knew, but he, for our sakes, is written down in the Bible. He said you need to find out all the information you can. You need to go on a fact-finding mission and understand everything you can about the symptoms. Because once you understand everything there is to understand, you'll be able to find the source. The source is the reason for the symptoms. You go into the doctor and complain about numbness in your arm. Can you put a salve on my arm? You're thinking, why do I need my blood pressure? Why do I need to have my heart checked? And why this and why that? And you might not understand it, but that's a symptom of a heart problem. The doctor knows that. And so when you have those certain symptoms, then he knows because of your symptoms what the source is, and he's going to give you help to treat the source or the root of the problem. Too often in Christianity, we're just trying to treat the symptoms. And you'll continue to have the same results over and over again. You'll never get the victory that God wants you to have until you move on and understand the source of the problem. You've heard me say often, there's never an excuse for wrong behavior, but there's always reasons why. And understanding those reasons does not excuse the wrong behavior, but it can help you to stop behaving wrongly. Help you to know what you have to do to change your behavior. The source of our spiritual problems is usually too much flesh and worldliness and not enough spiritual help. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and there was a lot of problems in the church. There was a lot of fleshly, worldly activities taking place in the church. Because of that, there was a lot of divisions, and there was a lot of problems. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, writes to the church and tries to help them to understand some things as to why there is dissension in the church, and why there is division in the church, and why there is all these things taking place. And they don't have a place of refuge, and they don't have the peace of God, and they don't have the joy of the Lord in their worship. And in chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10, he says this. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" You can't live unrighteously and think that everything is right between you and God. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Can I tell you that Satan does not want you to find a true source to your problems? He would just as soon you spent the rest of your life trying to just treat the symptoms. And you'll never conquer it. You'll never overpower it unless you get to the source or the root of the problem. Be not deceived. Neither fornication, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. All these produce symptoms. If you're deceived and you're believing a lie, if you're deceived and you don't think that there's a need for you to be in a biblical church where the Word of God is preached exactly the way God wants it preached, if you think that any church, as long as I'm in church, any church is all right, can I tell you, you are deceived and you're never going to come to the place where you can find the source of your problems. In that type of a church, you're just going to continue to try to medicate the symptoms. And you go and you might feel good because it appeals to the flesh. You might feel good because there's music that you want to hear, and there's activities that you want to enjoy, and there's things that even as teenagers, they can do whatever they want, and they can live their own lives, and they can do it without having conviction. They can do it without having somebody tell them you're wrong. And but they still have all these other problems. And you think just medicating these problems by getting them in church will be the answer, and just any church will not give you the help to overcome the problems. It's the Word of God. It does matter. It does matter where you attend. It does matter what you're looking to be able to find the help that God has for you. Don't be deceived in thinking that it doesn't matter. Any church will do. It doesn't matter. As long as you're sincere in what you believe, everyone who's sincere in what they believe is going to go to heaven. That's not true. Deception causes problems. Fornication causes problems. It causes problems up here. Living a life of fornication affects you more than what you realize. It's sin against your own body. It means it's going to affect you inwardly. There's no greater addiction than sexual addiction. You're more apt to overcome drugs and alcohol than you're apt to overcome sexual addiction. It affects you inwardly like nothing else that you'll ever do. It is one of the most powerful tools that God gave to humanity to keep a married life together, to keep a husband and wife together for a lifetime. It's a very powerful tool that God says has to be controlled within the boundaries of marriage. And if you get outside the boundaries of marriage, it's going to impact you, and Satan will use it to destroy you. And if you don't understand that, you're just going to continue to medicate the symptoms and you'll never get to the source. The source is fornication, idolatry. Any God will do. No. Have that kind of mentality. Can I tell you there's symptoms that will come from that kind of mentality? Adultery. Adultery, that Jesus said, even if you have done this in your mind, you're guilty of the sin of adultery, whether you follow through with the act, physical activity of it or not. If you've done it with your mind, why? Because that is something that Satan is going to use against you. And can I tell you, there are symptoms to those that have yielded their minds to adultery, and even greater symptoms once you follow through with the act of adultery. God connects adultery with whoremongers. And there's symptoms of that. Effeminate. That is connected with abusers of themselves, with mankind. And the world's wanting you to accept that as being normal behavior. There are symptoms of that that will take away the peace and the joy and bring the judgment of God down upon society. Don't let anyone else teach you anything different. The Word of God tells us exactly this is a source. And that source will have symptoms attached to that. Thieves. You might have thought you got by with it, but can I tell you, it'll affect you. Just stealing things from work, stealing things from here and there. It's something that is a sin against God. And anything that God tells you not to do that is sin, once you yield to that, Satan will use it to try to control your life. Try to destroy the peace and joy that God wants you to have. There's no peace and joy in a thief's life. I'm just telling you, these are things that he says to the church. These are the source. You have these symptoms of the church. This is what's going on. This is what's going on in your life. If you will evaluate the symptoms and understand the symptoms, it will point you to the source, and the source is what you need to address. Covetousness. Covetousness. Looking around and thinking, wait a minute. Why do they have more than I have? And before you know it, you're not thankful for what you do have. And outside of being thankful for what you do have, you're not going to have the joy and contentment that God wants you to have. I'm not content. Well, possibly not being content is a symptom that reveals the source of covetousness. Are you thanking God for what you do have? Or are you complaining about everything you don't have? If you're not being thankful, you can't have peace. Can't have the joy of the Lord. You can't be content. That's the source. Alcohol and drugs. It goes on, drunkards. If you're drinking alcohol or if you're taking drugs, can I tell you, there are symptoms that are attached to that. Satan works through alcohol today, and Satan works through drugs today in order to control your life. Much comes out of that. A lot of anger, a lot of bitterness. They get drunk to try to block out the problems of life. And when they come back to reality, they come back to sober mind, they see it all over again, and they're angry and they're bitter. And before you know it, you can't live with them. What is that? That anger and that bitterness, and that it's a symptom of a source. And no matter what you do, if you just medicate the source, or medicate the symptoms, you'll not ever get victory over the source of the problem. Right. Revilers, abusing others. Extortion, taking advantage of others. Can I tell you, all the things that he lists here have symptoms to them. That all of these produce symptoms. Many are troubled today because they're reaping from what they have sown in their sins. And if you never connect the two, you'll never get the victory. So Jesus asked him, I know all these other things. That's what you revealed to me. How long? I want you to understand, I've got to go on a fact-finding mission. I can't just look at everything that I know outwardly. I've got to even learn more than that. How long has this been? Has he had this spirit? How powerful is this? What kind of a stronghold does this have on this individual? Because you have to know all these things to know what you have to do to get the victory over whatever it is. The last thing, go back with me. This kind. There's symptoms to this kind. There's a source to this kind. I'm sure glad that Christ was there to give the solution. Can I tell you, as Christians, you always ought to be looking for the solutions to the problems. Because for the believer, there's always a solution. There's always help available. Once you've identified the source, you can find a solution, or if you will, help that you need. Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, takes it back to faith. It's a faith problem. Because if you don't have faith, listen to me, you'll never take advantage of prayer. As a born-again believer, I can't imagine my life without prayer. I can't imagine my life without being able to get in my prayer closet and get along with God and just sense the presence of God and be able to talk to Him like I can talk to no one else because He knows more about me than I know about myself. There's times that there's symptoms going on in my life and I don't understand them, and I'll get in my prayer closet and I'll say, God, You know me better. I know myself. What's going on? Why am I thinking this way? Why do I feel the way I feel? Lord, would You help me? And I pray to God and I talk to Him. And can I tell you that God will reveal things to me in my prayer closet about me that I don't even know. But God can help me to understand me. He can help me to understand why I'm feeling that way. And then I can go out and I can attack the source which leads me to feel the way that I'm feeling. Faith leads me to prayer. And sometimes I get in my prayer closet and I have faith to believe and I pray, and there's been times I still haven't got the answer and I'm still trying to figure it out. And I'm so thankful that I learned what God has given to me as an addition to prayer. And that's fasting. When I've committed to do all that God has revealed that I can do, can I tell you, God's never failed me. Doesn't always answer my prayers the way that I want them answered, but He gives me grace to be able to accept whatever His will is in the midst of that. Then Jesus, through His great faith, He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's to all. Then Jesus, through His great faith, overpowered the evil spirit. Faith reveals the solution is God. There was no one or nothing else that could help this boy other than God. You know how you're going to overcome that sexual addiction? You know how you're going to overcome that alcohol? You know how you're going to overcome those drugs? You know how you're going to overcome that temper? God. Put your faith and trust in God and look to Him for the help that you have need of. Because if you get saved, the Bible says, old things are past, behold, all things become new. You're a new creature in Christ. You have a new goal for life. You have extra help that you've never experienced before. You have the very help of God. Can I tell you, no matter what it is that you're facing, no matter what that is that you're battling, you're better off with God than without God. Without God, you have no hope. Without God, there is no chance of overcoming that. With God, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. This kind. Are you facing any of this kind? Faith, prayer, fasting, God on your side. It's a solution. God on your side. Whatever you have to do to make sure that you know that you have God on your side, that's a solution. If God be with you, who can be against you? That is a solution. What's your symptoms? Have you identified the source? Once you have, can I tell you, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt. That's how I can counsel. That's how I know that I have help for whoever, whatever the problem is. As a pastor, as someone who knows the Bible, I know that if you're looking to God, I can help you with the Word of God no matter what your circumstances of life, no matter what your troubles are, because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God is the answer, the solution. Are you looking to Him today? Look at every head bowed and every eye closed.